Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. State Senator Valerie Fouché is no stranger to tough political battles. The veteran Orange and Chatham County lawmaker was raised as a child of the civil rights movement and has devoted much of her adult life to the struggle for justice and equality. All that said, Fouché is less than sanguine about the partisan divide that currently plagues the North Carolina General Assembly. Despite the demise of Republican supermajorities during last November's election, Fouché says Republican leaders are doing precious little to open up debate or engage in real dialogue with Democrats at the General Assembly. I sat down with Fouché earlier this week to get her take on some of the big issues confronting state lawmakers right now, including the budget, public education, gerrymandering, and the need to close the state's health care coverage gap. Well, Senator Valerie Fouché, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
As we do this interview, we're in the middle of a very tumultuous period in the North Carolina General Assembly. We've just passed the crossover deadline, which is normally a pretty busy time, and we're headed now sort of into the home stretch, at least we think so, with lots of high-profile issues standing in front of us. Is there any difference in how the legislature is acting now that we have gotten rid of the conservative supermajorities and Democrats have a little bit more of a chance to participate, or do they?
Well, Robert started out with a different feel. I must say that I was somewhat optimistic about how things would run when we first started this session, knowing that the supermajorities had been eliminated in both chambers. But as we moved into the session, things started to shape up as we might have
expected. Kind of started to feel familiar.
Yeah, you know, there was some kumbaya moments, and then there were moments to remind us that as Democrats, even though we had eliminated the supermajority, Republicans still have the majority, and they still have the ability to move forward and pass those bills that they want to see passed. Mm-hmm. And Democrats have little power for getting into committees to have heard those bills that we believe most North Carolinians want to see. And so that's frustrating. And knowing that still it's hard to stop bad bills. Yeah. We can continue to stand up against them, inform the public what the impacts of these bills are going to be on them. But in terms of stopping legislation, we still don't have that ability. We have the ability to sustain a veto should the governor veto some of these bills. But again, we're still not in the driver's seat.
I guess there was some sense that because of this possibility of sustaining vetoes, that the governor and thereby Democrats, at least to some extent, would be empowered somewhat perhaps to that there might be some more negotiating that would go on. But so far, that doesn't, certainly on the budget, it doesn't seem that that's where things are right now.
You're correct. That has not been the case. And again, there has been some collaboration on some bills. I should point that out so that I'm fair. And in situations, there have been bills that have bipartisan support in the primary sponsorship. Unfortunately, those are not the bills that get into committee. And not being able to change or improve bills by amendments is still frustrating.
Yeah, we just keep plugging.
Yeah, we'll just keep plugging. And we've seen some progress, but not enough where it really matters, where people are paying attention because they're issues that they feel clearly touch them or impact their lives.
You know, as we came into the 2019 session, that just stood out as one that's so crying. Well, there's several of them. The one that's really crying for action is redistricting and the end to partisan gerrymandering. You've sponsored legislation on this.
Yes.
We haven't seen any action yet. Do you hold out hope that we might still see some progress on doing away with partisan gerrymandering?
I do not. Not in this session as much as I would have wanted it to. I think that many people thought that this would be the session, knowing that these bills have passed in the House before and feeling that with more Democratic representation in both chambers, that this would be the session in which a bill would pass.
Republicans would see that they might be the prospect of Democrats taking over the legislature, and maybe now would be the time. But that
and
doesn't
especially
seem
with the results of the 2018 election. But that did not happen in the House. And our leader And the Senate has said there will be no.
Senator Phil Berger.
There will be no redistricting bill that comes out of the Senate, which means that anything that would have crossed over from the House will not stand a chance.
A couple other issues that really stand out is just things you would have thought would be no-brainers. Medicaid expansion. Obviously, the governor has made a very strong showing that he didn't really want to have a budget until we get Medicaid expansion. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to have a Republican bill that closes the coverage gap, as we now say, because Medicaid expansion just...
I don't want to use those words.
There was hope, and I carried that hope for a long time. But again, the leadership in the Senate says that there will not be an expansion bill or bill to close the coverage gap coming out of the Senate. Mm-hmm. So it makes you wonder what means the most to people who have been chosen to represent almost 10 million people, and understanding that the threat of more rural hospitals closing gets bigger and bigger, and the idea that people are dying.
Thousands of people
literally
die prematurely.
Dying because they don't have access to affordable health care. I don't know how you can say that you are representative of the people, that you care about the lives of people, that you care about enhancing the quality of life for people when you don't tend to their health care needs.
Yeah, it seems like such a basic component of government.
And particularly because many of these are in Republican districts.
Well, that's the irony, isn't it, that so many of the people who are standing in the way of closing the coverage gap represent districts that would actually be the ones that would benefit the most.
Absolutely.
It is an amazing irony, and a bitter one.
A bitter one.
Yeah. Another issue that you wonder if there'll be any progress on in the 2019 session is environmental protection. You recently received a coveted Green Tie Award from the League of Conservation Voters. Congratulations.
Thank you.
With Lisa Sorg, a writer at NC Policy Watch. But that's another issue where it seems like we're going to have to scratch and claw to get any kind of stronger investments in environmental protection, any kind of tougher regulation on these emerging contaminants that are polluting our environment. It seems as that's another one where the progress is going to be slow going. Huh?
Agreed. But one thing that I think we've noticed this session is the number of bills that have given us pause. That we've seen over the last 5 to 6 years. We haven't seen as many of them this year. And the fact that in the governor's budget and in the House budget, there has been more funding. When we think about how much funding had been taken away from DEQ, the Department of Environmental Quality, and how taking those funds away also meant that there were positions that were taken away, positions that would allow for the monitoring of water samples and air samples and that sort of thing taken away. To see some of those positions come back is promising. Certainly we could do better, but progress is progress, and I'm learning to be happy about any progress that we made. And, you know, again, recently we keep seeing these storms and we keep seeing the effects of climate change to the point where we cannot be in denial. If you just think about what happened in Wake County yesterday.
Yeah, where we had tornadoes blow through the county.
Absolutely. At some point, we have to realize that we have to not just talk about it, but we have to be about it and make sure whatever we can do to reverse these effects are being done, particularly here in our state.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the recent teacher rally, educators rally that took place in Raleigh. And perhaps that's another issue where the aggressiveness of the rightward push is a little less. But we're seeing some headway, but still a long way to go in terms of even just getting us back to where we were with funding before the Great Recession, right, when it comes to teachers and education.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that I'm a former school board member. My son is a teacher. My sister is a teacher. I have the greatest respect for teachers because were it not for teachers, I probably would not be in this position. But I do know that if indeed North Carolina is going to stay competitive, we have to prepare our children for the future. And we cannot do that unless we have excellent teachers in every classroom. We know that that is the one thing that impacts whether or not a student is successful. And to move forward with restoring master's pay certainly is a step in the right direction. To move forward with acknowledging our teachers who have served the longest. Yeah. That's a step in the right direction. But not taking a total picture of what the needs are for education in North Carolina such that all teachers are benefiting from whatever legislation we pass, not knowing that we're passing legislation that's going to restore our crumbling schools and provide for the additional space that we need, not putting the money in for pre-K. I mean, there's so many issues that still remain unresolved, and it does not seem that we're leading ourselves to make those changes. It continues to be
kicking and screaming to do the right thing.
Yeah,
at times.
And we'll do a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can't say that we didn't do anything.
Right.
But still, we have people working in our schools who don't make $15 per hour.
Right.
Again, they've been left out. So much more to do.
One last question in our limited time. I wanted to touch on the issue of what's going on at UNC and the student activism that's arisen in recent years. You've worked and lived the civil rights movement your whole life, really, and you see now students trying to fight those battles again. We've had the controversies over once and for all getting Confederate statues out of places of honor. What are your thoughts on where we are in that and what the future holds?
Well, my thoughts are, as they continue to be and have been, the struggle continues. And to have an in-your-face kind of attitude to people who have lived a life of oppression, who continue to fight to move beyond that, and to have others to join in the fight, particularly students who did not come up in the civil rights era, but who have grown up in an era where they have become or they have been more accepting of cultural differences, who understand that the way to move forward is by being united, by understanding how we differ, but how we are so much alike, and to believe that it's time for us to put the past behind us, not to forget it, but to put it in a perspective such that we know what it was about, and to move beyond it, and to not have glaring figures to remind people that you were once in a box. You're trying to get out of the box. Let me remind you that the box is still here, waiting for you.
Well, it's been an honor to have you with us. I hope we'll do this again. Good luck getting through the end of the legislative session. Thank you for all you do for our state and for your constituents, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
Coming up next, there has been one small bright spot of bipartisan cooperation at the legislature this year. We'll talk to a man who helped make it happen. Stay with us.